your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus is on the cross, bearing the weight of the sins of the whole world on his shoulders. Yet, he sees to it to make sure his mother is taken care of after he's gone. As God, Jesus is dealing with each other. But as man, he's showing all of us today how important it is to take care and love our mothers. Mary witnessed the crucifixion of her son from the foot of the cross. Can you even imagine how she must have felt? Jesus knew. And so he turns to John and says, take care of her. And then he looks at his mother and says, let him stand in my place as your son. Mary became like a mother to John, and he did look after her until her death. One thing I believe that Jesus was trying to teach us during this moment was that we can't be willingly and knowingly wrong with our mothers and be right with God. With this in mind, I would like to look at mothers from two different perspectives today. One being from those who still have their moms, the other from those of us who lost our moms. First then, if your mother is still alive, regardless of your or her ages, let's explore seven ways you can love your mother and therefore be willfully and knowingly right with her and right with God. Number one, love her verbally. Here's a typical man's philosophy on this. I don't have to say I love you. You already know. I've told you before, if I change my mind, I'll let you know. Or, I show my love. I don't need to say it, too. That may be true for the males, but a woman, especially your mother, needs to hear those words, I love you. Many men don't have to hear the words, I love you, many times, because they think they know when they are loved or when they aren't. That's not to say that they have no emotions, because we do. Men just don't seem to be as good at showing their feelings. According to research, though, and this holds for both men and women, hearing the words, I love you, gives both genders a sense of security. Many mothers, as they grow older, doubt that they are loved because if we as their children and their spouse don't tell them so, then how are they to know? Love your moms on a regular basis with those simple but powerful four words. I love you, Mom. Number two, love her physically. When's the last time you gave your mother a big hug without her asking for it? Or a kiss in the cheek? Or a neck rub? Or just sat on the couch and held her for a change? In our house, it would be very difficult for our children to do that, the latter. And not so much because they're all over the continent, but more because my wife rarely sits together. What is it about physical affection that seems to make it such a key factor in any relationship? The participants in a recent study believe that physical affection helped them feel more loved and more understood. Although the participants were not all moms, this doesn't mean that it's not true for all mothers. Surprisingly, most of the participants were particularly aware of what the researchers found statistically to be the role that physical affection plays overall in promoting relationship satisfaction and helping the participants navigate conflict. Physical contact in the form of hugs or just sitting together helps to quiet troubled waters. And moms have their fair share of these, just like the rest of us. mother patiently. Mothers have an incredible job with no pay. No position in the world of work compares to the physical, emotional, and spiritual commitment she has in motherhood. This poem describes the point much better than I could. It's called No Occupation. She rises up at the break of day, and through her tasks she races. She cooks the meals as best she may and scrubs the children's faces. While school books, lunches, homework too, all need consideration, and yet the senses man insists she has no occupation. When breakfast dishes all are done, she bakes a pudding, maybe. She cleans the rooms up one by one, with one eye watching baby. The mending pile she then attacks by way of variation, and yet the senses man insists she has no occupation. She irons for a little while, then presses pants for daddy. She welcomes with a cheery smile, returning last night. A hearty dinner next she cooks, no time for relaxation. And yet the senses man insists she has no occupation. When you really think about what is being said in this poem, there's absolutely no reason for a son or daughter to become impatient with their mom. But we get so used to our mothers taking care of things, we come to expect the results immediately, if not soon. Be patient and be understanding. Because she's tender to your needs, there's no reason to take advantage of her. It's reason to be patient and to love her all the more. Number 4 and 5, we're going to do these two together. It's called Love Her Attentively, and number 5 is called Love Her Generously. Mothers listen as you pour out your heart. She has a sympathetic ear and always has. And even as an adult, you've gone to her when you wanted someone who will really listen and understand. And she'll always be there for you. There's nothing too good for your mother, and we could never repay her for the countless things she has done for us. We ought to die trying. She didn't spend on herself unless all her yearnings were met. She could easily do without, and now it's time for her to have something she wants. Dr. Dobson from Focus on the Family recently read this letter sent to him by an 80-year-old woman on her birthday. I think this covers the last 3 points, patience, attentiveness, and generosity, quite nicely. It says, to all my children, I suppose my upcoming birthday started my thoughts along these lines. This is a good time to tell you that what I truly want are things I could never get enough of, yet they're free. I want the intangibles. I would like for you to come and sit with me, and for you to be relaxed. We can talk, or we can be silent. I would just like for us to be together. I need your patience when I don't hear what you say the first time. I know how tiresome it is to always be repeating, but sometimes I must ask you to repeat. I need your patience when I think too much about the past with my slowness and my set ways. I want you to be tolerant with what the years have done to me physically. Please be understanding about my personal care habits. I spill things. I lose things. I get unduly excited when I try to figure out my bank accounts. Don't we all? I can't remember what time I took my medication or if I already took it. I take too many naps. Sometimes sleep helps me pass the day. Well, there you have it. Time, patience, and understanding. Those are priceless gifts that I want. Finally, in his letter, the Apostle Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know I can too. It's a wonderful feeling to know that his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. I guess being old isn't that bad after all. Love, Mom. Number 6. Be grateful. She needs a sincere thank you, not just today, but when least expected, and from a genuinely thankful heart. This brings to mind a story that I hope is inspirational to you all. There's Kleenexes right there. A man stopped at a flower shop to order some flowers to be wired to his mother, who lived 200 miles away. As he got out of the car, he noticed a young girl sitting on the curb, sobbing. He asked her what was wrong, and she replied, "I wanted to buy a red rose for my mother, but I only have 75 cents, and a rose cost $2. The man smiled and said, "Come on in with me. I'll buy you a rose." He bought the little girl a rose and ordered his own mother's flowers. As they were leaving, he offered the girl a ride home. She said, "Yes, please, you can take me to my mother." She directed him to a cemetery, where she placed the rose he had purchased for her on a freshly dug grave. The man returned to the flower shop, canceled the wire order, picked up the bouquet, and drove the 200 miles to his mother's house. He learned very quickly how grateful he was to still have his mother. Number 7, love her honorably. So how do we honor our mothers? It's one thing to say Happy Mother's Day. It's another thing to help make your mother happy in tangible ways. We talked about the intangible, now we're talking about the tangible. Here are 4 practical expressions of honor. You can honor your mother by the things you've learned from her teaching. Mothers are teachers. As Proverbs 1 verse 8 says, Nancy read, "Listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teachings." The best way to honor a school teacher is to learn from her. This applies in the home as well. From a strictly practical point, this should happen because moms know more than their kids. From a more theological standpoint, moms are the primary instruments that God has chosen to communicate His will to His children. Number 2, we can honor her by obeying her. This was talking to the children this morning. Children must obey their mothers. That's a law. Proverbs 6:20. This means doing what she says with a cheerful heart. That's not the easy part. That's the tough part, I'm sure. And moms, you must never separate obedience from honor. Where there is no honor, or where there is no reverence, or there is no respect, there is no obedience. Number 3, you can honor your mom by submitting to her discipline, even when you get older. From a parental perspective, mothers need to be discipliners. That changes as we get older. A disobedient son or daughter is a shame to his or her mother. That's written in the Bible. Except in extreme cases, mothers cannot afford to wait for dad to come home to discipline their children. Having said that, it's imperative that the father stand behind his wife's discipline. From a child's perspective, the discipline of a mother and father should have the same effect. Number 4, you can honor your mother by improving her quality of life. This point will probably put a little cynical grin on the faces of some moms. Make my life easier, more pleasant? Others are probably remembering when their life was easier and more pleasant. It was before children. But the Bible says that wise sons give joy to the one who bore them, Proverbs 23:25. Put another way, all children should have as their goal to improve the lives of their mothers. Proverbs 31:28 says that her children rise up and called her blessed, literally. Her children rise up and bless her. This is not simply saying, "Bless you, Mom." It is being a blessing to your mother by seeking to improve her quality of life. To summarize, How we love our living mothers would include loving them verbally, loving them physically, loving them patiently, loving them attentively, loving them generously, loving them gratefully, and loving them honorably. That's pretty tall order. But can we possibly love mothers who are no longer with us? Simply stated, we honor them and what they have, we honor them by what they have given us. The annual Mother's Day holiday can prove challenging to someone mourning the loss of his or her mom even long after her death. There are some things that God has given only to mothers, and that they, in turn, pass along to their children. As such, we can love our mothers for passing them along to us. What are some of these qualities? Well, this is only 3 points. The last one, 7, this is 3. Number one, mothers pass along their faith. God placed a trusting faith in Christ at the top of the list. Because it doesn't matter what you've done with your life or what you've given to your children if you've not made a decision for Christ. You must be saved. Mothers don't leave it up to their husbands or their pastors or their church to lead their child to Christ. Mothers take the initiative. They ensure that their children have had the opportunity to be saved. They provide that opportunity. They are opportunity. Number two, our mothers have given us a passionate love for others. I'm not sure that there is a greater example of this on earth of the father's love than a godly mother. It is from the mother that most children will learn how to love and be loved. It is the mother that the child watches. Those kids watch how you express your love to your spouse. They see how you love them. They observe daily whether you express love for other people, particularly people who are hard to love. You remember that Jesus said that it wasn't much of a big deal for us to love our friends. But the real test of love is whether you can love those who are unlovable. Why does the love of man grow colder? Because they do not see the model like they should. We remember our moms as a loving person, showing a genuine love for other people. It wasn't always easy to like, let alone love others, but she modeled this love for others and was probably the greatest model of unconditional love we'll ever know. Number three, our mothers passed along godly values. What kind of values am I speaking about? There's too many to list, but I'll try to go through maybe 4 or 5 here as we can. And you might want to take some time later to reflect on some of these. Number one, I like numbers because I'm a teacher. Mothers teach or taught their children about obedience to God, about obedience in the workplace, about obedience to the law. We talked a little bit about the children this morning with the other half. Mothers pass on the high regard for the church, not just the building. We hear about what the women's ministry is doing. That's the church. That's reaching out in love to our community. Mothers pass on big biblical values about money. Mothers pass on other things, such as tenderness, kindness, forgiveness, and mercy. Mothers pass on the biblical value of personal responsibility, not passing it off to somebody else, taking responsibility. There are lots more, but I think you get the idea. Our deceased mothers gave us so many things. These are but a few. Sometimes we don't realize just how much our mothers have guided our paths and continue to shape our lives, even after their passing. In conclusion, I must admit that I do not envy the mothers in this room or the work that you do. I realize that Christian mothers and even fathers are under great attack in our nation like never before. But God will also prevail. And although there are still lots of battles to fight, we can rest assured in knowing that the war is won. God made others just like He made you and I. Here's a little story about the work of our Creator when He crafted mothers. By the time the Lord made mothers, He was into His sixth day of working overtime. An angel appeared and said, "Why are you spending so much time on this one?" The Lord answered and said, "Have you seen the spec sheet on her? She has to be absolutely washable, but not made of plastic. Have 200 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a lamp that can hold 3 children at one time, but then when she stands up, it disappears. Have a kiss that can hear anything from a scraped knee to a broken heart. And have 6 pairs of hands." The angel was astounded at the requirements for this one. 6 pairs of hands? No way, said the angel. The Lord replied, "Oh, it's not the hands that are the problem. It's the 3 pairs of eyes that mothers have to have." "And that's on the standard model?" asked the angel. The Lord nodded in agreement. "Yes, 1 pair of eyes are to see through the closed door as she asks her children what they're doing, even though she already knows. Another pair in the back of her head are to see what she needs to know, even though no one thinks she can. And the 3rd pair are here in the front of her head. They are for looking at an errant child and saying that she understands and loves him or her, without even saying a single word. Says it with her eyes." The angel tried to stop the Lord. "This is too much work for one day. Wait until tomorrow and finish." "I can't," the Lord protested. "I'm so close to finishing this creation and so close to my own heart. She already heals herself when she's sick and can feed a family of 6 with a pound of amber." The angel moved closer and touched the woman. "But you've made her so soft, Lord." "Yes, she is soft," the Lord agreed. "But I've also made her tough. You have no idea what she can endure or accomplish." "Will she be able to think?" asked the inquisitive angel. And the Lord smiled and replied, "Not only will she be able to think, she will be able to reason and to negotiate." The angel then noticed something and reached up and touched the woman's cheek. "Oops, looks like you got a leak with this model. I told you that you were trying to put too much into this one." "That's not a leak," the Lord objected. "That's a tear." "What's the tear for?" the angel asked. The Lord said, "The tear is her way of expressing her joy, her sorrow, her disappointment, her pain, her loneliness, her grief, and her pride." The angel was impressed. "You are a genius, Lord. You thought of everything. Truly, you do all things well. Moms, you are truly amazing."